Okay, today's daf is going to learn. We're going to learn the daf Lamed Gimel. So let's begin from the halacha vav where we left off. A makabel sadim mechaverol ba'asara kur chitim, and however lakta, then noten lo mitocho, mitocha. Now this is an interesting one. In other words, what the idea is, he says the condition, or he's makabel sadeh. So what type of kabbalah agreement is there? So again, with this whole perek, you have to keep on thinking. Are we talking about arisut or kablanut or chakirut? So again, what are the two ideas? Arisut is I agree to work in your field and I'll give you a share from it, proportional share. And the other one, chakirut, is I'll work in your field, I'm give you a fixed amount from that which has come from the field. Now that's important. The difference between schirut, it's simply going to go pay you. So what the Mishnah is saying now is what happens if he works in the field, pardon me, and the wheat itself is affected. It's in a way that it's spoiled in some way, right? So in that situation, we say you still give him from that product. Now, to show the Marafulda here, he says, that they're subpar for some reason, or they've been affected by some natural issue, like wind blast or something. The we're talking about here in chakirut. That's what I have to teach the chiddush. Because the in other words, if we talk about classic arisut, where the person gives a share, then obviously you don't need to say that whatever, however the whatever grows from the field, you're going to get a portion from that. There's no chiddush there. The chiddush is that if it's a case of chakirut where it's a fixed amount of yield, you might think to say, oh, but something happened to the product. Well, I expected 5 kilos of wheat. But what the din is we're learning by chakirut is it comes from that which grew in the land that they agreed together. It's not arisut, it's not a share, but it's a fixed amount from that which grew. That's why I've been very specific when I explained it, the meaning chakirut. What happens if yafot? What if suddenly this guy he did brilliantly in the land, and that year he was able to grow the prime wheat, prime flour, to produce prime flour? Then we say lo yomar lo. He doesn't say harei ani lokeach min hashuk ela noten lo mitocha. Again, it works both ways with a choker. You might think to say, well, I promised you 10 kilos, so I'll give you the average 10 kilos of wheat and I'll keep the rest of this prime product for myself. No, with chakirut, it's a fixed amount from that which grew. So the fact that it grew a prime wheat, you've got to give him, again, the 10 kilo, whatever the fixed amount was, from that prime, from the wheat that grew. So chakirut works both ways. Now, this next Gemara we're going to be learning, the Braita, which really comes from the Tosefta, is we've discussed in the sixth Perek of Demai in a lot of detail. And in the Mai, what we're discussing, we talked about Chakirut and Arisut. I'm not sure if you remember, there's actually I went over the whole Shir again before the Shir. That the question is, yes, you have to give the person, if you're a Choker or an Aris, a share, a percentage, or whatever it is from the field. But what happens when it comes to Trumas and Maasrot? Do I have to separate? Or does he have to separate? Now, when we learned back there when it came to Arisut, that since it's a share, and you can give him Tevil. You just split the quantities. I get 2/3, you get a third, whatever it is, and we're done with it. However, with chakirut, it's not so simple, as you'll see. So what we're going to do, if you don't mind, is we're going to look at the Pnei Moshe's take on this. Because what he does is he changes the girsa to pretty much match the Tosefta exactly. It's the Marafulda matches or keeps it much with a very minor changes. Makes it keeps the gears in front of us in the Gemara, but in any event, the nafgamim between the two is what shittas say what. Okay, and the way the Pnei Moshe says it falls is a lot similar to what we learned in Mai. So we're going to go that route, which is a bit of a digression because at the end of the day, it's not much really a difference. So if you look at the girsa, we can just read straight from the Pnei Moshe because he changes it a whole piece of the Gemara. He says, "Tani b'tosef the masech of the Mai hagirsa da'acha chaser v'nishtabsha." He said it's all messed up a bit. That's how this is what it should be saying. So again, we're talking about chakirut. The first understanding is all he has to take is truma, and the rest he can give it to him. Now, what are we talking about? Now, just to explain, when it's you have to be. If you remember, we did this when we learned this together back in Demai. Is there's difference here between torem and maaser. Torem means he just has to worry about Truma Gedola and he can give him the rest of it as Tevel, the rest of it untithed. Maaser would mean he has to separate all Trumas and Maaserot before giving the share to the owner of the land. Those are the two things. So the Gemara says, Remeromer, Maaser v'noten lo. He has to take up all Trumas and Maaserot and then give it to him. Now, the simple understand, we'll do it all actually. We'll read the whole Pnei Moshe because he'll explain it all in an orderly fashion. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Im natano me'oto sadeh u'me'oto min." If he gave in the Chakirut, the payment came from the same species as it was growing and from the same field, all he has to do is take Truma v'notenlo. If, however, he's paying him for some reason, misadeh acheret u'min acher, from a different species or a different field, why would that be the case in Chakirut? Could be simply be im hovira or something nishtafa or something happened to the field where he's got nothing to really pay, so he needs to pay Chakirut with something else. Then he has to take out all Trumas and Maasrot. That's Chachamim omrim, then all he has to do is toren v'notenlo, im then which is that Chachamim say it depends. The only thing it depends on is whether it came from the field he was working on. Whether it doesn't matter if it's the same min or different min, that would be fine. All he has to do is toren. If, however, it came from a different field, then it's separate or trumas and maasrot. What is going on behind this debate? So I'll just explain now. We'll continue the Pnei Moshe. He says, we're clearly talking about a case of a choker, like I already explained. If it's talking about like a arisut where he's giving a proportion, that's done with that, the first words or the beginning of the Mishnah in the sixth parak of Domai. It doesn't matter. All you did, you give him as full tevel. You give him his share. You wanted a third? Here's your third. You worry about Trumas and Maaser yourself. Okay? Vein tzirich lo litruma lo maaser. Ubechoker we've got a machloket. Why? Tana kama savar dechayev b'tru truma ala makabel. The makabel is only chayev to worry about your truma. V'charshi truma, after you separate the truma in truma gadola, noten lo kavit, no, he just gives him whatever the stipulation was. Ubalasadeh maaser after it. Okay. Now, we haven't explained yet why the obligation is to Torem, but we'll get to that towards the end of his Perush. Rebbe Meir says, no, he's got to separate everything. Af Maaseh v'notenlo. Rebbe Yehuda Savar, Dafka only nitan lo matos adel min. Only the payment is coming from that which, from the field and the same min that was engaged to release supply. That's when he's doesn't have to worry about Trumas, the Maaser, only Truma. If he's giving from a different fields to pay the chakirut, even if it's the same min, or natan lo mi min acher for a different min, a different species within the same field, then sarich laaser kol habasev, separate everything. Why? Now this is a critical. This is a clinching point here to understand. In other words, so what's behind this discussion is as follows. When the choker gives the share, meaning not the share, really the fixed amount that it was originally obligated to as part of the deal, when do we look at that as just a distribution? And when do we see as if he's paying off a debt? Okay? If it's paying off a debt, you cannot pay off a debt with Tevel, therefore you have to separate all Trumas and Maaser. If it's just distribution of his share, well, that's just his share, just like we've got with Arisut. You just give him his whole chelek. Now, we haven't explained why he separated Truma, but we'll get to that in a moment. So that's why you can understand. Rabbi Yehuda says, if it's coming from the same field, the same min, then it's just distribution. It's not a problem. All you worry about Truma, not the rest. However, it's coming from a different field or a different min, then it's that wasn't then you then you're effectively now paying off a debt. That's not distribution, because that's what the distribution wants to be. You're not doing the proper distribution, you're playing with something else. Since it's a debt, therefore you have to separate everything, all the Trumas and Maaserot. Okay? Fine. About im natan lo me'oto min, however, back to Rabbi Yehuda, if he's paying from the same field that which grew there and the to min, then it's not kol poreya chov. It's not poreya chov at all. The Chachamim sabri de kol achara, and the Chachamim say, look, it depends, it all depends on the field, in the chil maaseret. However, the one point still remaining is when it's not considered like Poreya Chov, then why does he still have to separate Truma Gedola? And the example the Gemara explains, Aval Inyan Truma Divra Kola Malak Ala Makabel. Everyone agrees he still has to separate Truma Gedola, meaning the first little bit to Poteret Akri. Because it seems to be that as we explained, he has to thresh and do everything he needs to do. And you're not allowed to take produce away from the Goren until you've actually taken Truma. And since it seems to be that the distribution is happening from the point of the goren, well, then there's already a chiyuv, our obligation, the makabel, the person who's working on this field, the choker, to separate truma gedola. So that's why, even if it's not considered like paying off a debt, it's just a distribution that was already a preceding obligation on the makabel to go ahead and separate truma gedola. Okay, that's why everyone agrees he has separate truma gedola. The machloket between all the different shittot, Tanna Kamma, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Hur, and Chachamim, is what circumstance from that point on was, is it considered like a distribution or is it considered like a paying off a debt? If it's like paying off a debt, then you have to separate all the rest of the maaser. If it's just distribution, just give him whatever's remaining, and he has to worry about maaser rishon, maaser sheni. Okay, that's what's happening behind here. Okay, it says va'edi de tanahaka noten lo moto sadeh o moto min. That's why the Gemara brought the Tosefta that we saw back in Sefer Demai. Now, that was when we learned that was a whole shiur, by the way, on these, you know, these few lines we just learned together now. But it's just like a bit of a hint of chazar of the whole sugu, at least we did there. Okay, that brings us up to all those gives of changes we saw. That brings us up to the next halakha. This is now halakha Zayin. It says, Hamakabel said Zaras Orin. Let's say, again, the agreement was I'm taking a field and I'm going to plant barley. Then you cannot, lo yizra'u chitin, you cannot start planting wheat. However, chitin, if it was to wheat, you can start planting barley. Now, again, it's a makabel barful that says we're talking about chakirut. Every mission you have to ask a question. It's a chakirut, it's a kavlonot, or arisot. So it's chakirut. And it could be, in this situation, it could be wheat, it could even be paying my money, it could even be rental. It could be, in other words, it doesn't have to be a classic chakirut case. The point is, if a makabel to plant wheat, then you can't plant, sorry, to barley, you can't plant wheat, but if it's wheat, you can plant barley. What's the difference? Why one and the other? Rosen Lechitin Marafulda explains because the wheat draws more nutrients, if you like. It's makrish, it weakens the soil more. So therefore, if you were makabel to do wheat, then you plant something else. It's not going to impact the soil so much when you effectively hand back the control back to the owner. However, if it was the other way around, meaning if the agreement was to plant barley and plant wheat, you're drawing more nutrients out of the ground than the owner of the field thought you were going to be doing that year, and therefore you can't do that. Okay, that's effectively what's happening because it'll be to the detriment of the Baal HaBayit. Now, Rabban Gamliel Shimon Gamliel says no. Oseri says absolutely not. You cannot change from, it doesn't matter if it's barley to wheat or wheat to barley. Both ways, you cannot. We have to understand why that would be. Similarly, so for the same reasons, kitniot lo yizra'u tvoah, tvoah yizra'u kitniot. So kitniot, if the example, the re reason, if they're taking the field to plant some sort of legumes and the like, that's, it says, kitniot makcheshet karka yoter min ha-tvoah, that really draws more nutrients and the like from the soil than tvoah. So if it was going to be, you're going to, he understood you're going to set it for kitniot, you can plant tvoah, but not the other way around, where the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says once again, hoser. So you have to understand shita of Rabban Gamliel. So makabel sin machadro, nichas seurim lo yezrena chitin. I can understand when it comes to seurim, you shouldn't plant chitin, because why? We said the chitin is gonna makhish that karka more. It's gonna weaken the soil more, it draws more nutrients, let's say. However, chitin, lo yezrena seurim, why not? So there's two ways to explain this. The first way is va'atik rav la. So either it could be like Rav Ila or Rav La, which is I'll show you the marfulda. He says, the sphere le kamat seurim achar seurim makhishim ara. Your term is pishnacha pishtan. So, in others, you think that if you planted, like planting wheat, the agreement was planting wheat, and you're going to plant barley, you're doing a favor to the Baal HaBayit? Well, it depends what the Baal HaBayit's intention was to do the next year. Because if 2 years in a row of barley seems to be not so good. Meaning, it seems to be it's more detrimental to have 2 years of barley in a row. So by you planting, thinking I'm doing him a favor by planting barley, that's only if he had no the Baal HaBayit didn't want to plant barley the next year. He might want to have planted barley the next year, and by you planting barley instead, it's going to put him in a worse position. That's why he said so. So that's what Reb Ila is saying, that if you plant sorim achas orim, it would be detrimental, or maybe not. Or it could be kidivrei hakol. In other words, even according to the teacher that doesn't hold like Rabbi Ila, you could still say like Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel that it'd still be asur. Why? And Here he explains that b'makom she'ein sorim kiflayim bechitin, aval she'ma'alim sorim kiflayim bechitin zora la'sorim. So this is where I'll just read the marafol. This is b'makom she'ein sorim osim kiflayim, meaning if the sorim don't produce, if you're planting that, a double yield, less than that, if they nimtza machgir, therefore the machgir is going to lose out. Explain why it makes important to say double yield in a moment, because which is more valuable? It sounds like wheat's more valuable, and if the choker is giving him a fixed volume in a different product, it's going to be detrimental to him. So that's when, if you like, Rabban Gamliel says, no, it's no good. You cannot simply plant barley instead because you're a choker. You're giving a fixed volume, a fixed yield, and therefore it can be detrimental. In a situation where the seorim would produce a double yield of wheat, then zora seorim. So in here, when it does double yield, if you're back in Masechta Demam, that same daf towards the end of it, it seemed to be there was a minhag of if a choker was going to take a field of a wheat, he would pay back double the volume in barley. Okay, so in that situation, if you've got a situation here where it was in a location where like, double yield and they'll give a double volume back in the case of chikra proportional to the wheat he was about to do, then the balabai wouldn't lose out. So it seems to be the machloket. It's not really necessarily a machloket between Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Chachamim. It just depends on the, if you like, the location. Okay, fine. Let's do the next mission. This is now halacha chet. Hamakabel sadeh mechaveiro. By the way, that was the Ma'ariv. Fuller explains it. You can see the Penemot has a very very long piece that ties it more closely, I think, to what happened to Masechta Bedamai. But I'll be honest, I didn't get a chance to go through that. Let's look at now halacha chet. Hamakabel sadeh mechaveiro l'shanim muatot. Let's say someone was again an arrangement to take care of work on a field for a very short for a short number of years. That wouldn't necessarily be on a year-by-year basis, so it was a short number of years. He shouldn't plant pishtanos. He can't take the beans from a sycamore tree. Because what I mean beans? Because the sycamore trees would be cut in a particular way that would encourage them to grow these long branches, these thick branches that would effectively like korot that they use for beams. Okay, so if it's a short period of time, why can't you do that? That is because if you, I'll just show you the barful. Firstly, the pishdan is impacts the soil for us for like a good number of years. I've got it here. It's later on. It says pishdan. We'll see that it weakens the soil for an impact of a good number of years. And when it comes to this korot shikma, it says etz sarakhu, it's a sycamore tree, the kotzim anafav le korot binyan, and they will take the branches, although the grew from these thick branches for construction. Ve'en chozrim ve'gedilim, and they would grow. U'pachom in nasekro, but it would take a good number of years to develop these branches. It wasn't just grow in a year. Hilkach, kibla mimeno, if you accept this field to work in it for less than 7 years, lo yikotzkor, you can't cut off the beams. If only over 2 years, then you can't cut off these beans because they've been growing for the last few years. Delava data to korat naked because clearly you didn't come forward to the field with Aldat to take these beams that have been growing for so long. The b'shem chozrog l'korot. In other words, since it takes such a long time for these things to grow, it's almost implicit in the agreement that when you work that when you come to work this other person's field to control this field, that it doesn't include those items that are not going to be replenished in the years of your engagement. Okay, that's the idea. Let's look at the Gemara. I can understand if this is no, sorry, just to fill in the gaps here. This the Mara Fulda quotes the beginning of a braita. It says, "Tani chitin, if you agree to plant chitin, you shouldn't plant pishtan. Pishtan, if you're planting, if you agree to again plant pishtan, this flax, lo yizrenu chitin." And it's important to understand that pishtan, if you like, saps the soil of more worse even than chitim. Even a chitim we saw is worse than seorim. This is even worse than that. So the Gemara says, "Nichach." We'll just do a bit more to the Mishnah because it's sort of short enough. "Nichach chitim lo yizrena pishtan." I can understand if the agreement was to plant wheat that you shouldn't plant pishtan because it would be more detrimental to the soil. However, pishtan, the agreement to pishtan lo yizrena chitim. Why? Pishtan lo ke ha'arich lo shanim v'tem ha'achi. We know Pishtan impacts the soil for 3 years. Well, I thought it was longer than that, but it's the 3 years. And so by planting wheat instead, you're doing him a favor. So Perish Rav Menachem Achei Rav Gurion, Kamei Rav La, Mutal of Zara Pishanach HaPishtan V'Losorim HaChasorim. So just to explain here, Shlomo Mar Fulda, he says that it's better to plant Pishtan after Pishtan more than Surim HaChasorim. Now, we might reference this before, because Surim HaChasorim is the consecutive years, we said, is detrimental. And more than Pishtan HaPishtan, even a Pishtan on its own or for a single year, like it takes more from the soil than all these other products. So therefore, back to here. So kol shekein chitin achar chitin. So too, if you plant 2 years in a row of wheat, it would makrish tvei, would even be more detrimental, if you like, misorim from barley after barley. Chitin chitin. So it could possibly be, once again, a very similar answer we saw before, that the Balabait, when he was happy to give over this field to somebody else to plant Pishtan, you might, by saying, I'll do him a favor, I'll plant wheat instead, you might not be doing a favor, because once again, he might want to plant wheat the next year. And we just saw that 2 consecutive years of wheat is very, very bad. So even though you, in your sort of limited scope, you think, oh, for this single year, I might be doing him a favor, but you're not doing him a favor, because if he wants to plant wheat the next year, it's actually going to be further, even worse for him. Okay, so therefore, he says you cannot switch either way, which is very similar to the way we said, like Dibra Kol, how can you explain Rama Shimon Gamliel if you like an Amishnah? Okay, v'seder. We will continue from Halacha Tet next. Shir Metzashel. Kol Tov. Have a good day.
Good morning.
Thank you.